Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Inkwell Gamers Podcast. We are officially 1 week into the set championships, and so that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So this past weekend was the first of the 2 weeks that set championships are occurring, and we attended two different ones.
Yeah, we attended two different ones. They were a lot of fun. I think the first one had 28 people, and the second one had, I think, like 16 to 20, somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So pretty good turnouts for the kind of smaller stores that we went to, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like if you are someone who did not go to anything this past weekend just because maybe you were nervous or not sure if you wanted to do it, I would highly recommend trying to see if you can still get into one this weekend, because I think as a player, you learn so much more from doing these kind of events than you might at just your casual league or even doing something on Pixelborn. So it's definitely a whole different atmosphere, and I learned a lot. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think I did too. Had a lot of fun and learned a lot, and that was the goal.
Yep. We always try to set goals for ourselves going into these, and I exceeded my goal. I can start off if you want.
Yeah, Dana, tell us what deck you played, what your goal was for the first tournament, and what happened.
Mm-hmm. So, like I talked about last week, so it's no surprise, Emerald Steel, that's what I went with. I did make some changes. I took out the Buckies, I added in Flynn's. I didn't really want to go the whole discard based on Floodborn route, so I just tried to do just straight discard, I guess. I also added in Friar Tuck, which I believe I didn't have last weekend for the pack tournament, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I also added in the 6-cost inkable Robin Hood that quests for 4. I might have gotten to him once or twice. It was mainly ink, where it was something that if I got to later in the game and I got to play, great. But if I had to ink it, it didn't break my heart as much as it would have if it were to have been like the Shift Robin or the Beast or the Tink. Like, it was something that was higher impactful, but also not a sad loss if I had to ink it early.
It did definitely win you one game that I watched, though, so
I know, I was getting ready to slam a second one down, and they're like, you got it. So I didn't have to put the second one in, but yeah, made some changes. What about you? What did you bring?
I brought Ruby Sapphire. It was my first time playing that deck in a competitive environment. I did not want to play Ruby Amethyst. I still think the deck can definitely win matches, and with it being best 2 out of 3, I think I probably could have brought that and did fine, but I wanted something that was a little more powerful and good against the A Whole New World decks, and Ruby Sapphire is that deck. It's so good against A Whole New World, and yeah, I just crushed every Steel Song player I played. Yeah. So that was awesome.
Which I feel like we can take a pause here for a second and talk about just decks in general that we saw. I feel like up until this set, especially, I mean, you had Steel Song and Ruby Amethyst. Those were your pretty dominant decks that we saw competitively. However, now I think we're seeing less of those. I might only see one of each tournament, whereas we're seeing a lot of Steel Emerald, your Ruby Sapphire, and then the Amethyst Emerald. I'm seeing more of those three than the former two.
Yeah, I think the metagame is just way more wide open. There are probably 6 decks that someone could bring and win a tournament with. Steel Sapphire, Ruby Amethyst, Steel Song, and both the Emerald decks, I think, can all just show up and win any given tournament. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we did skip over. How did you do in that first tournament, Dana?
Guys, I shocked myself. I went in with, like I talked about last week, low expectations. I just wanted to win a match. I went undefeated in Swiss. I was the number one seed going into top eight. And so the last round of Swiss, me and the other undefeated person that was there decided to intentionally draw. But going into top eight, that was the first time I've ever made top eight. That was the first time I ever went undefeated in Swiss. I couldn't believe it. I felt like it was a dream.
I was so proud of you.
I appreciate that. But I unfortunately lost the first round of top eight to someone that I had beat earlier in the day, 2-0, and then I had lost to them 0-2. So that was a little heartbreaking because I was one game away from getting a promo, and it was a deck that I already saw that day and I anticipated and I had a game plan, but I honestly feel like the draws were not in my favor. I didn't see my Ursulas and I didn't see any of the damage songs, so I really couldn't like double sing Let the Storm Rage On or anything like that. So it was, and they were playing a Emerald Amethyst, so definitely aggro, something that they had low to the ground characters that I could get away with singing, you know, Let the Storm Rage On twice or something like that, and then get their Merfolk off. But I did not see those cards, unfortunately. So, and I feel like I mulliganed pretty aggressively. I do feel like if I know what I'm playing, even if I don't, I guess, I have specific cards that I know I want to have in my opening hand. And so when I don't see them, I do mulligan pretty aggressively. So we're talking like five, I think one time I did like six cards, but still didn't see them. So that was unfortunate. But
yeah, that is unfortunate. But I thought from the games that I watched, I thought you played really well. And it was really awesome to see you perform like that.
I'm shocked. It was a little difficult on the ride home. And if you're someone that went this past weekend and might not have performed as well as you had wanted, I think I was kind of right in there. Like, obviously, I did better than I thought. But once I realized on the way home how well I did and how close I was and how I really did have a shot, that I was extremely frustrated and sad and mad. All of the emotions, big feelings, I told Dalton in the car on the way home. Because I thought I was close. But I needed a day to really let it sink in. And for me to reflect and think, okay, I set a goal for myself and I met that goal. And so I should be proud that I made that goal. Like, yes, I think in the moment, my goal kind of shifted. Like, oh my gosh, I could keep going, you know? Like, I kind of reset my goal. But of course, when I didn't meet that, it was frustrating. But I needed to reflect and say, I did better than I thought, and I should be happy with that. Like, I wasn't going in thinking I was going to win. I wasn't going to go in thinking that I would even get any of the promo prizes. Like, I had that low of an expectation for myself. So, at the end of the day, I feel good. I do. I needed a couple days for it to sink in, but I do feel better.
We were in the same tournament, and one of us was the number one seed going to the top eight, and it was not me. You should feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, but you want to tell them how you finished that same tournament?
All right, yeah. So we can get into that. I went 3-1-1 in the Swiss. It was pretty much a clean break into top eight if we all decided to draw. All of us decided to draw except for one match. But those two made the top eight anyway, so it didn't matter. So we all made essentially clean top eight. And I got paired up in my top eight match against the one deck that I lost to in the Swiss. It was Emerald Steel. And, oh, that was the one matchup I really did not. There are three Emerald players, and I didn't want to play against any of them because Cursed Merfolk is just a menace for Ruby Sapphire to deal with. And of course, I got paired up with them first round. I got pretty lucky, I think. I beat him 2-0. He didn't have any crazy explosive draws or anything like that. The next round, I also won. So I got into the finals to get a playmat. Whew.
Yeah.
And then I lost to the same person that Dana lost to in the top eight. Yeah, it was Emerald Amethyst. I won the first game, so I had pretty high hopes. And then, yeah, they just got me the next two, just a little too aggressive. And I'm going to have to try to figure out how build my deck better for that matchup. And I'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But, yeah, so I got second, got the promo, got the second place mat.
Okay, don't say it like that, Dalton.
Well,
be proud. Okay, you were here.
It was a theme.
here he was in the car telling me that I should be proud of myself, even though I was very frustrated. He was like, "You make top eight, you should be proud." And then here he is, not taking his own advice. You got second out of like almost 30 people. So again, be proud of yourself. That's awesome. You got a mat. You got a promo.
Yeah, I am proud of myself because it was my first time playing that deck, and I think I piloted it relatively well. I just have to get used to the Emerald matchups and try to figure out what to do in those because it just isn't something I'm familiar with this deck. So hopefully I can learn something from that. But
yeah,
that it was frustrating in the moment. I'm over. I'm proud now.
Yeah, good. Good, good. Yeah, I feel like even though I had went undefeated, there were still a lot of mistakes I had learned from because I was doing some like goofy things and not even like misplaying. I was just forgetting triggers. I was really nervous my very first match because, I mean, no matter how experienced you are, whenever you're in a competitive environment in a tournament, like, everybody's going to have a little bit of jitters.
The butterflies kick in a little bit.
Yeah. I forgot to draw for a turn. So that was fun. And then my next one, I think I had Beast out with no damage. And I forgot the draw trigger for one turn to get two cards. And that is something that my deck struggles with is card advantage compared to my opponent. And so that was like my opportunity to get an extra draw and I just flubbed it. But there was a misplay for sure that I had done. I had 4 ink and my Robin out and like it was turn 4 and I had the shift Robin in my hand and I think I had other things going on in the board that I was so worried about. I think I wanted to play a song or something like that. So I used my ink to hard cast Along Came Zeus. Didn't realize that I could have paid 3 to shift my Robin to then sing it. So, oops.
Hey, but it's something that you caught yourself and you learned from, right?
Yeah.
So that I think that's really cool. You figured out the mistake just by yourself.
Yeah, I highly recommend to, I mean, if you guys don't do it already, I think a big part of these tournaments and learning from them is the reflection part of it after. Maybe if you picked up on something that you had done wrong or that you should have done differently, it's nice to take notes either if you have a notebook in your backpack or you just open up the notes app on your phone in between matches and basically record how the match went. I like to at least do the record of the match, the deck that I played against, and then if there were any things that I had noticed I had done. So, like, for example, in my notebook, my first round 2-1, I went against a Lemon Lime and I forgot to draw. Like, so just things like that, where I can reflect back on it later. And almost kind of like if you revisit it, it ingrains it a little bit more into your head. So hopefully next time you remember to do that and you don't make that mistake again. So I don't know. I would recommend anybody doing it because I think it's really helpful.
Yeah, reflection is a really important tool to have in order to get better. You can't just leave every game just thinking, I got unlucky, right? Mm-hmm. Or because you're not actually growing as a player, because there are definitely things, like sometimes you do get unlucky, but most of the time there are things that you can control that cause you to lose instead.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's mulligans or maybe you trade in the wrong, whatever it is, reflection is really important because that's how you improve.
Right. And I mean, not saying necessarily that the smallest little mistake that you had made is what cost you the game, but if you continually reflect on all the little ones that you make, it might help you from not making all of those mistakes maybe in one game. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it helps to minimize the mistakes in each game until you get to the point where you're just hardly making any.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's really good advice, Dana.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, I'm learning.
You are. All right. So that was the first tournament. Let's talk about the second one. Do you want to go first?
Sure, because mine was short. just kidding. Yeah, I didn't do as well the second day as I had done the prior day. And I don't know if it was that, like, I was present and in the moment, but I feel like I wasn't laser focused as I was the day before. And I don't know if I was just maybe a little burned out mentally from the day before. But I think, if anything, it was a good test for when we go to, like, larger events that are 2 days. Not saying I'm making it to second day of Atlanta or anything, but in case I do, it's just, like, good practice for doing Lorcana 2 days in a row all day, every day, you know? But, yeah, I won my first match 2-1 against an Emerald Amethyst. And then I saw a deck I wasn't anticipating. It was a hyper aggro, kind of low to the ground, evasive, high questing characters. It was a Emerald Ruby, and they were playing the Simba that quests for three. And they even had the Ruby Peter Pan in there, but I unfortunately didn't see again. I felt like I saw Ursula a lot the day before, with the exception of my last match. I was able to double sing a lot with Ursula the day before, but I felt like on Sunday, she was just never there. and neither were my songs either. So it kind of sucked, because if I were to have just had Ursula out there and then got Let the Storm Rage On or something, I would have been able to slow them down significantly, and I was not able to do that. So that kind of sucked. I did not expect that deck at all, to be honest. And it went by very fast. Took it to game three, though. They won the first one, which caught, because I got caught off guard. And then I had a little bit better of a plan for game two. Was able to pull that one out. And then game three, I was off by a turn. Like, I would have won that next turn, but unfortunately, I just didn't have anything, so that sucked. But, and then my games three and four, I actually played against two people that were from our LGS, and we all made a trip down. It was like an hour and a half drive to this tournament. And so it was really fun to have friends there. And I believe I went to the third game in the third round. And then I think come the fourth round, I think I just really lost focus, and I was making really stupid mistakes. I made stupid mistakes both games, and you kind of helped point those out after. There was that one point where I started panicking, so I just quested with everything, and I should have maybe held my Tinkerbell so I could next turn get two of theirs off the board. But again, I just panicked and was like, quest with everything. So I was like making really reckless no pun intended, really reckless mistakes, because I think I just wasn't as in the zone as I was the day before. But it's all good. I ended up not making top cut. However, they did a like random draw for prizes, and I got a Hades mat. So I consider myself to still be a winner.
That play mat is really sweet.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
It's pretty sick.
It's like my favorite villain. So yeah. I love Hades, and it's of him in his boat in the underworld as, like, all of the dead people are, like, swimming around him. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So, hey, I didn't come out with the mat, but I came out with a mat. So.
That's true. And a pretty sweet one. So, yeah. You know.
So tell us about your day two. All
right. So I went undefeated in Swiss. I didn't lose a game. I played the first three rounds, then just drew into the top four with the person that Dana lost to in the second round. He was also undefeated. So first round, I played against Steel Song. That is kind of like my best matchup, especially if they're not playing flutes, which they weren't. So just played 1B prepared. I don't know. I won that match pretty easily. Next one was against Ruby Steel, like Floodborne Control. This is one of our friends that Dana played the next round.
Yeah. Funny how we drove an hour and a half and we all played each
just,
other.
Just played each other, yeah. I think just Ruby Sapphire is just good against any Steel deck, and he was playing Whole New World, which Sapphire is good against the Whole New World deck. So I won that one 2-0. His deck was more anti-aggro, I think. So, like, none of his cards really did anything to... He has, like, a lot of, like, Queen of Hearts and stuff like that.
It's good against, like, the Amethyst Emerald, but...
Yeah, like, when they challenge, like, the Talisman, whenever they challenge, they do something. Or Chief Bogo, whenever you play a Floodborne character, deals one damage. And I just don't care about any of that. I never have to... actually quest
in order to gain lore. Well, yeah, you just have items, and you just have items for the first, like, several turns.
Yeah, I just have to Lucky Dime Tamatoa twice, and I'll end up winning the game. So, that was a very good matchup for me. Then the third round was against Ruby Sapphire. The mirror he was playing, I mean, his deck was a lot different than mine. He wasn't playing How Far All Goes. He was playing Hades instead of, I think... maybe some Madame Medusas or Scars. He wasn't playing the four-cost Kramatala. So we had a pretty big card discrepancy, it kind of felt like. And it just seemed like my version was better in the mirror. I was able to ramp faster. And maybe he just never really played a Tamatoa. I don't know if he had any in his deck, but I never saw any from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a lot of Tamatoas. So I, again, won very easily. Next round, I drew...
Sorry. I was going to say, you do your thing where you, like, you don't actually do anything for almost the entire game. And then when your opponent thinks that they have it in the bag, then you just, like, come out of nowhere. You're like, I thought you literally, I was not threatened by you the entire time.
So, oh.
Like, that's how you like to play Magic, too, according to our friends.
Yeah. That is how I like to play Magic, guys. Fly under the radar, you know? Don't let, especially multiplayer Commander games where they don't see you as a threat and then you just win because they don't see you as a threat.
You're very persuasive, too. Like, why me? I'm not doing anything. And they're like, yeah, you're right. And then they...
then they attack the other person. Yeah, that's the goal. That's the move.
It's quite annoying.
All right, so back to the top four cut, I played against the Steel Song deck that I played in the first round. Again, won 2-0. So I'm feeling pretty good. Haven't lost a game yet. And then I get paired into the Nightmare matchup again. That is Emerald Amethyst, the deck that I lost to the day before.
Yeah.
And...
were you having PTSD?
I was a little bit, because you know what happened? I won the first game.
Yeah.
And... like, it was a pretty close game, but I was able to pull it out, and then I dropped the next two just the same way it happened the day before. I think I made one pretty glaring mistake. It turned out to be a glaring mistake. I don't actually know if it was at the moment. I could have played Maui to challenge their Queen of Hearts, and I didn't. Instead, I wanted to use more ink that turn and play Kramatala and How Far I'll Go.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to use all... 8 of my ink instead of just 5 of the 8. Because I was kind of looking for a Be Prepared as well. And what happened on their turn, they drew Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo, played a goat, double sing Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo on their goat, gained like 5 or 6 lore, however much that is.
It was absolutely bonkers to watch in person.
Just gained a ton of lore, just kind of out of nowhere. And that made it so if I had that one extra turn... based on how the game played out, I think I would have won, but I didn't. So, yeah, that was unfortunate. And then he told me after that he drew Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo that turn. So just to add a little
top deck.
just to add a little salt on the wound. So yeah, Emerald decks are kind of a glaring weakness for this deck. It's tough because people like to play Queen of Hearts against the Emerald decks, but that card, like the two-cost rush, is just so bad, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, it doesn't take out their more important characters like Ursula. Yeah, you quest it into a Merfolk or whatever, but then you're down two cards because you actually had to play the Queen of Hearts instead of inking it. Then you have to discard from the Merfolk. I don't know. It just does not do what you want. And sometimes, if you're in the play, you just play it on turn two, and then they just don't quest with the Merfolk until they get a Prince John, or they sing a Let the Storm Rage On and kill it so you don't even get the quest with it. Or they kick Cloud Kicker back to your hand so they get the tempo. That card is just not very good, and it's supposed to be the card that helps you beat those decks mm-hmm. in the early turns. So, but it doesn't. it does not, from my experience. So
have you, I know that we've had some time since that to think back on it, and I know you did a lot of research on the app, looking at all the cards that you could put in it on the way home. Did you find anything that you feel like could be a good replacement for it?
I have two theories I want to try.
Okay.
So the first one is taking out the two Queen of Hearts and the two Judy Hops, because Judy is fine, but normally it's just like banishing your popsicle, then you draw a card and it's okay, but it's not super high impact.
Mm-hmm.
So taking out the two of each of those I have, and taking out Develop Your Brains. I think Develop Your Brains really good, but I'm really not sure what else to take out. So I kind of want to take out those as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then playing Flounder, the one cost.
Yeah.
And the two cost Grandma Tala. So the logic behind Flounder is that you still have a cheap character that can pressure the Merfolk and Flynn Rider,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to take turn two off when you would rather be playing one jump ahead on turn two anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still play something on turn one that impacts the board, but then one jump ahead on turn two and ramp into like Grandma Tala or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the reason why I thought about the two-cost Grandma Tala is because that one also does pressure Curse Merfolk, but then once it gets banished, you don't lose that card. It just becomes an ink.
Right.
So I feel like maybe having those two combined, maybe I don't need all eight of them, but having those two combined might make the aggro matchups a little bit more tolerable. And in most other matches, they're just ink, and that's fine too.
Yeah. I mean, Grandma Tala would be great to, like you said, deal with the Cursed Merfolk, maybe the Flynn. And then if you happen to have an item in your hand, and like you could challenge with the Grandma Tala, she goes to your inkwell. But if you have to discard, you could always discard an item, because when you get Tamatoa out and running, then every time you quest, you can just search for it and get it back anyway.
Yeah, and that's actually kind of what happens a lot, is somehow I mulligan my hands, and then I have like a lucky dime in my hand. I'm like, this is the worst card in the matchup. So I have to always discard that to challenge one of these characters, but that's okay, because I know Tamatoa is going to get it back later at some point if I make it to that point.
Yeah.
So that is one route I'm kind of intrigued by.
Mm-hmm.
Just taking turn two off to play the Queen of Hearts when you have one jump ahead in your hand just does not feel really good. Like, you always just want to ramp on two if you have one jump ahead. So that's something I'm going to try. And then the other thing, I'm bringing back some set one cards. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
The Aladdin Shift package.
Nice.
So the reason why I'm considering that is because if you have one jump ahead, that enables just another way to be prepared on turn four, because you can sing it with Aladdin.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I think that Aladdin Heroic Outlaw is probably really good against these decks, because they don't have great ways to deal with it when you shift it into play.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big lore swing. And I think if I add another Shield of Virtue, I can get a little more mileage out of Aladdin by letting him challenge more than once in a turn.
Yeah.
So I know 3-cost Aladdin's terrible. It's just not a very good card, but maybe if I, maybe that one lore that it takes away from the opponent can kind of slow him down a little bit.
Yeah.
It can threaten a Flynn and curse Merfolk as well, but really I'm just trying to get Shift Aladdin out there because I think it's probably reasonably good in the matchup, and if I need to sing Be Prepared, it can do that on turn 4 or 5 as well. Mm-hmm. Just another way to get Be Prepared out early.
Yeah. Going back to the deck that you used this past weekend, you had How Far I'll Go in there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I had watched you use it quite a bit, so I assume that you're happy with that addition. Because that was something you didn't have last weekend for the PAC tournament, right?
Well, I played Ruby Amethyst for that tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
But yeah, right after the PAC tournament, I built a version for our league,
mm-hmm,
of Ruby Sapphire, and I put How Far I'll Go in there just to see. And at league, it performed really well, but I still wasn't sure if I was really confident in it. And I started playing on Pixelborn and playing Grammatala, the 4-cost, and then singing How Far I'll Go turned out to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Just actually hard casting How Far I'll Go is really not bad either, because you get the ramp and then you get the card vantage as well. So I think that one has performed a little bit above expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Friday, the day before, I saw the streamer Savich. He was playing How Far I'll Go, and I was like, if he likes it, then it's probably there's probably a good reason. So
yeah.
I just decided to keep it in there, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so another thing that I noticed that you had in your deck too is you splashed in one of the Scar Vicious Cheaters. I feel like when I watched you, you had used that quite successfully against the aggro decks, because I mean, I'm going to say ours because, well, I guess I'm more mid-rangey, but nonetheless, the Emerald characters, whether it's an Emerald Steel or Emerald Amethyst, we don't really have much power to us. And so it's nice to just slam that in there, and then you could pretty much wipe their board because he's pretty big and you could probably get two or three challenges in one turn off of them. So do you like that you put them in there? Do you like the fact that you just had one? Did you wish that you had more?
I've contemplated this. I think I might want a second one. I think he is really good. And because you have popsicles in your deck anyway that just kind of heal it,
mm-hmm,
that means he can just keep challenging even more characters because he heals too. So, or the popsicle heals too. So you can mess up a lot of boards and then you still have this character in play that is actually good at challenging locations. I mean, something that's pretty common is that you kill one or two of their characters and then you get to challenge the location that they have in play and take that out as well.
Yeah.
And just having another rush character that impacts the Queen's Castle or McDuck Manors, and that can also function really just as a fifth Be Prepared, it felt really good. The only time it didn't feel good is when I had that instead of a Be Prepared one round, because I had to challenge a Curse Merfolk and a Flynn Rider in the same turn. I had to discard a bunch of cards. It's like, man, if I just had one of my 4 Be Prepareds instead. Be Prepared is still king, which is why there's 4 of those and only 1 Scar. But I'm pretty serious about adding in a second one just to have another one of those top end, you know, clear board effects.
Yeah, I've definitely been firsthand witness to that, because last weekend, I think I talked about this even in last week's episode, I had like 3 or 4 out because it was later in the game. I, you know, the struggle with my deck was that eventually I feel like I run out of cards. So it's like, I'm just drawing a Curse Merfolk, playing it, drawing a Flynn, playing it. And so later in the game, here I am, I have 3 or 4, and then they just slam Scar in, and then I was screwed. So I feel like having another one in there, especially if you feel like that's a big weakness to this deck, are the Merfolk and the Flynns, etc. I think that'll be one option for trying to combat that.
Yeah, and the really powerful thing about Scar is that you can just play him even when your opponent doesn't have anything, because he just quests for 2, and then they have to answer this thing. Mm-hmm. And I definitely just played it out once or twice over the course of the weekend because my opponent didn't have a board. I didn't have anything going on. So I'm like, I might as well just play this giant thing and make my opponent deal with it.
Yeah.
So Scar is really good. I kind of want a second one. So yeah, that's also something I'm going to be looking into. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to lean that direction because even though I want to test the Aladdin stuff, I don't have high hopes that that's actually going to be any good.
Well, you know, that's why we have Pixelborn, I guess, no harm, no foul.
Yep, that's why we're going to try it out. But yeah, my hopes on that one are not very high, although I love Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. I think going into this weekend, some modifications I'm going to probably make to my deck. I've been struggling with this because I feel like I don't want to make my uninkables too high, but I think right now I'm at 14, actually, which is pretty low compared to what we normally run. So
I mean, my deck runs like 20.
So. Well, you're also a ramp deck, so with a huge card draw engine, too. So mm-hmm. I need Grab Your Sword. I didn't have it in my deck this past weekend, and there were definitely multiple occasions in which I'm like, if I had a Grab Your Sword in my deck, like, I could just board wipe them. So that sucked. I gotta figure out a way to bring that back in. And then, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not too impressed with Friar Tuck. I think
I think he's really good on the play when you curve out with him, just not very good when you go second.
Yeah, and there were definitely times in which it was like I feel like when I get to that point, hopefully if my deck's doing its thing, they already have less cards than me. So it's like I have to wait until I run out myself because they might be down to one or maybe none at that point, and then like I still have. So it's like I can't even play it, I have to ink it, but then I don't have another 4-cost character that fills that curve. I just have Songs in that slot, and so if I don't play him, then I don't have anything.
Well, and you might just have to bite the bullet and play and discard random, you know, just discard a card sometimes, which doesn't feel great, but if you need the board presence.
I don't know. I don't know. I have thought about doing the Shift Flynn. I know some decks do, not all, but maybe adding that in. Maybe, I don't know, Mother Knows Best or Kit or something. I need something. Yep. I have gotten kitted by people and it doesn't feel good. And so I'd like to then do it to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kit or Grab Your Swords could be good options. There were some games where I feel like you're like, man, if I grab your swords, but there are also games where I feel like you just didn't need Grab Your Swords if you made one or two other decisions differently.
But I'm not that good enough yet, so I just need something super obvious to where I could just be like, bam, Grab Your Sword. But
hey, that's a strategy too. I mean, Grab Your Sword is incredibly good.
So
here's the thing. I actually do think that we're gonna have a lot of Emerald decks at the set championships this weekend. Mm-hmm. So you might be able to get away with playing like three of them.
So for example, second tournament, the deck that I played at where it was the Emerald Ruby Super Aggro Hyper deck. After I was shocked and lost the first one because I didn't know what I was expecting, I was like, okay, going into game two, I need to try to get the Robin and the Shift Robin. And so I did that. I was able to shift into it. And then it was like, man. And then he had like just one willpower character just spread out. And I thought, man, if I had Grab Your Sword and I could, in my hand right now, I could sing with Robin and like board wipe.
Didn't you win that game too though?
Yeah, but there's still, I still wish that I had my game plan, mm-hmm. and then I got to that point where I was like, this would just put the cherry on top and I could literally stop it.
It's like, I wouldn't have to think anymore if I had this. Like, it would just be yes. Like, yeah, I know, no, I'm saying like,
Not everyone can think strategically as much as you don't.
That's not what I meant.
Some of us need obvious solutions.
That's not what I was saying. Whatever. I was just like, that's not what I was saying.
I don't know, it kind of sounded like that. That's how I took it.
That's not what I meant.
Regardless, I feel like even games that we win, there are still things that we encounter where we're like, this would be really nice in my deck in this situation. Sure.
Like, I think you could find a use case for a lot of different cards. I'm trying to find a use case for
a Latin heroic outlaw that hasn't seen play since set one. I don't think it's going to be good, though.
Well, I mean, you know what? How about you try that this weekend, huh?
No, I'm not putting that card in my deck this weekend, probably. I have to try it.
You already got two mats, two stitches.
How mad would you be if I just played just one with because of a Latin heroic outlaw this weekend?
I wouldn't be mad because...
You'd be so angry.
No, I wouldn't be because then I can have one of your mats that are second
place. They're mine! You can have one anyway.
Honey, the rule of marriage is what's yours is mine and what mine is yours. And so the fact that you have two mats...
You can have one anyway.
All right, deal.
Yeah. But on a serious note, I think we are going to see some Emerald decks this weekend and probably some Steel Song. So... I would say just play, grab your swords anyway. If that's, I think a lot of people at the second tournament we went to said they were coming up and they were playing some aggro decks. Mm-hmm. And I think some people from the first tournament that we went to are also coming.
So a lot of repeaters.
A lot of repeaters and they are playing some aggro decks. So mm-hmm. I might not actually play Ruby Sapphire this weekend because it's not good against aggro. On a real note, I would play Ruby Steel if we had two copies of all the Steel... Steel Sapphire if I had all the copies of the Steel cards. If we had double copies.
I mean, is there... How much of a crossover? Because you're going to probably be doing some Cindy's, some... Well, I guess...
I would do the Robin Hoods and the Beasts.
And the Tinks.
Yeah. But we don't have double copies of that, so it's... But I'll just stick with this and try to figure out if I can make it a little bit better.
Right? did I use that right?
You did. Yes. See if I could tag it against aggro. I don't know. It's just not inherently good against aggro. It has no good cheap characters in these colors. So, I don't know. We'll see, though.
On another note, I feel like if you are an Emerald Amethyst player and you're not playing Bippity Boppity Boo, I think the biggest takeaway is put that in your deck. Because when that person used it, I was like, damn, that was a good play.
Yeah, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo with the goat, the rabbit, they're both just so good.
Right.
It's a really high ceiling card, but also can sometimes just not do anything. So I think it'd be better if they had, like, maybe some genies in their deck, too, to help with the consistency of it. Because if you just have rabbits and goats, I don't know if that's enough targets, but...
I don't know, the goats seem to be a good enough target.
Here. I mean, they're both really good targets. I don't know if it's enough targets is what I was saying.
That's fair. But I feel like when I was looking at deck lists like a month or so ago when I tried playing that deck, I didn't see people playing that. And so I feel like, I don't know if it's still uncommon or it's starting to make an emergence, but I would highly recommend you trying it out because that was pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a lot of fun.
Except if you're coming to any tournaments we're going to, don't play it.
Yeah, leave those at home. I don't want to get goated for five again. That was terrible.
Impressive, but anyhow, it was a good weekend. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you too.
Ah, well, thank you. And, you know, if you didn't do it last weekend, I highly recommend just getting out there, putting yourself out there, finding one, because it's how we all get better. It's just, you know, just taking a chance. What do you have to lose, I guess, except for your weekend?
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
Maybe some time and money. I don't know.
Some time and...
Like a $20 buy-in or something. I don't know. Unless it's free. But, I mean, I think it's the best way to learn. So, good luck to anybody who is playing. Congrats if you did play and you did well. And if you didn't perform as well as you expected, then, you know, keep your head out. Try to reflect and see if there's anything you can identify and just learn from it. Because, again, it's all a learning experience. So just give yourself some grace.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the most important thing. Don't, even though there are points where we were kind of hard on ourselves a little bit, don't be too hard on yourself. Because it is just a game after all.
Yeah. Just sleep it off and then reset the next day.
Absolutely. Just go back and...
Ted Lasso, think like a goldfish.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend to anyone who is competing. And we will recap next week with you all.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend, guys.